Hey, this is Thomas Q. Jones, former UVA All-American running back, and you're listening to The Jerry Ratcliffe Show. Wahoo wah.
Welcome to the Good Health Podcast on The Jerry Ratcliffe Show with my co-host, Chris Graham. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate your listenership each week. I'd like to thank our sponsors, UVA Orthopedics, ACAC, and Ragged Mountain Running and Walking Shop. We couldn't do this without their support. We really thank them and hope you will give them your business. And hopefully we don't have any injuries, but if you do, UVA Ortho is the best place to go. And let's welcome in one of our great doctors from UVA Sports Medicine and Orthopedics that we have in each week. We rotate some of those great staff around. And this weekend or this week, it's Dr. David Deduck, who's probably been on more than anybody in my former radio show and also our podcast now, and very familiar voice to all of you out there. David, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, Jerry. Chris, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking some time out of your schedule. I know it's bumping up against Thanksgiving, and so we're all trying to make preparations for the weekend, and appreciate you taking some time for us.
Absolutely. An exciting weekend in terms of UVA sports. The Tech game coming up. I know everybody looks forward to this all year long, and I'm excited to see how we're going to do. It's thankful to see our quarterback back on the field this past week and to see what he can do this coming week against Virginia Tech. I mean, I think – you know, everybody is seeing what a remarkable football player he is. Just an incredible talent. And just delighted that he could play last week. And kudos to my partner, Dr. Steve Brockmeyer. He really spearheaded all that it took to get him on the field last week. And I'm sure the listeners were very, very curious about that process. But, you know, it was more a matter of what he could manage rather than just necessarily holding him specifically. That really wasn't what was going on. Is he could go when he could go. We made the determination that this was a safe injury to play with. And then it's just a matter of when you can get the pain under control. And through some cutting edge techniques and some new things that are out there, which worked out incredibly well, even better than we had hoped, I will say. He was very comfortable for that game, and it showed. I mean, he threw – 450 some yards against a team that's got two losses. So just incredible what this kid can do. Exciting. You know, he coming back next year, which is the expectation, he likely would be a Heisman candidate and really have a lot of national attention and well-deserved. I mean, look at the receiving core he has coming back too. I mean, LaBelle Davis will be back. And then you add that with Wicks, who's having an incredible year. And we'll get bigger and stronger. Should be, I mean, his numbers aren't amazing this year. It'll be even more amazing next year, I imagine. And I hope he gets the recognition he deserves. I can't think of a quarterback playing better than he is right now in the country.
I can't either. Bryce Young from Alabama is having a great year. But, you know, Brennan's better than a lot of these guys who are higher up on the Heisman.
Listen. Stats are incredible. And just the difference he makes to the team. You just look at the week before compared to the Pittsburgh game. It's clear the difference that one player makes to a team is remarkable. And that's, I'm sure it's something they take into account with a Heisman candidate. It's one thing if you're on Alabama and surrounded by incredible talent.
Right.
But, yep.
I was a little disappointed that Pat Narduzzi, the Pitt coach, kind of accused Brennan and UVA of faking it. Before the Notre Dame game, that it didn't, that he thought that he probably could have played in that game, but I don't think
so. No, not the case. Not the case. We did what we could, and he tried. And leading up to the game, you have to practice to prepare too. And if it's just too uncomfortable to practice, then you're going to go in unprepared, even at that level. So, you know, he just wasn't able to do what he needed to get ready for that game. And then the game day also just too uncomfortable. And if you feel it every time you throw, you're going to start to make bad throws. You may remember when he exited the game before, he threw an interception. So that's the kind of thing that can happen. If you feel it and you hold back or you alter your throwing mechanics each time because it hurts as you try to twist a throw, so that wasn't the case at all.
I guess a lot of Virginia fans were concerned against Pittsburgh that they're the leading or second leading pass rush team in the country. They sometimes will blitz six guys. I guess a lot of people were worried that he was, even though he was playing and healthy, as healthy as he could be, that, you know, he was vulnerable.
Sure.
To multiple hits. You guys did a good job of protecting him in that area.
Yeah. And the training staff crew did a great job. And the equipment guys with the flak jacket, and they made some modifications to the flak jacket to protect that actual area of injury. And he did well, but you know, that risk is there all the way until it's completely healed, which is really approaching 3 months. So there's always going to be that potential, but as time goes on, it just gets less sensitive. It just hurts less. So even if you do take a hit, it's less of a setback than it would be otherwise. So it's not like waiting one more week would make a difference, honestly, with that situation. It'll be the same situation going into Virginia Tech. He could have one more hit that would flare it up and make it more painful. But, you know, just based on the location and the nature of the injury, we made the most important determination that was safe to play, as best we can tell. And then it's just a matter of what he can do and how sore he is. So he's come back pretty fast. He's done very, very well. He's a competitor. I have a lot of respect for this kid. He's going to be an excellent quarterback on down the road.
I'll give a warning to any Hokies listening to this broadcast. Pitt blitzed Armstrong with 25 of his dropbacks. He was 18 of 22, 233 yards, 2 touchdowns, a 141.1 NFL passer rating on those blitz dropbacks.
Wow.
And that's not even considering that he was playing with a rib injury. So
that's incredible. 18 of 22 on blitzes. That's incredible.
Don't blitz him, basically.
he's been that way all year, really. He's been better against the blitz than when they don't blitz him. So, you know,
why blitzer would beware.
He makes such good reads now, and just, you know, multiple receiver reads. He really is impressive.
Yeah, no question about it.
UVA Orthopedics and Sports Medicine boast one of the finest teams of doctors in the country, and they're right here in Charlottesville to not only provide care for the University of Virginia athletic teams, but also the Charlottesville and Central Virginia communities. UVA Orthopedics has been a proud sponsor of the Jerry Ratcliffe Show for the past 2 years, with numerous team members featured in weekly segments where doctors share great insight into various sports injuries, what causes them, how to treat them, and recovery time. Their team of experts are there for you and offer the best care to solve your health problems and get you back on your feet. Let their team of specialists get you back in the game.
Listen, guys, I thought we might talk about something that the listeners, probably just about everybody, can relate to. If not now, sooner or not, they will. And that's just arthritis in general, and kind of what it is and what the options are, and maybe understanding it a bit, what works and what doesn't. Thought this might be of interest to people. So let me just start with just what is arthritis. And that's when the cartilage in a joint wears out. And the cartilage is the really smooth surface on the end of the bone. And an analogy is a chicken leg. You break open a chicken leg, the white shiny stuff on the end is the cartilage. And you'll note from looking at a chicken leg, it's incredibly smooth, just glistening white. And there's in a joint, you'd have that on both sides. And so those surfaces rub against each other. And it is remarkable how slippery they are. So they're especially slippery because of the fluid that's in the joint too. So you've got a balloon around the joint that's going to hold a thin layer of fluid inside. And the neat thing is the cartilage holds on to the fluid inside the layer. About 80%, if you just look at by weight, what the cartilage is made of, you've got cells in there that are alive. You've got a matrix around them that's kind of like a sponge, if you will, that the cells make these, that gives it a structure. But most of it, 80%, is water and the joint fluid. And the really neat thing is that the cartilage holds on to that water. It holds on to it because the water is kind of trapped in the pores and the spaces, just like a sponge, but also the actual matrix has a negative charge to it. And back to your chemistry days, it actually helps to bind to the water, which has a little bit of a positive charge. So it holds on to it. So when you press on it with weight on the other side, it just a very, very thin amount of water gets squeezed out. And that makes it super slippery between the two. So you got a film of water between these two surfaces, and it's actually the slickest substance that there is. There's nothing slipperier on Earth than the human joint, which is really incredible. Just marveled at what God made there. But that's the beauty of it. It's just squeezing a thin layer of fluid out as you're putting weight across it. And that's also how the cartilage gets its nutrition and its oxygen, and those cells stay alive and keep it healthy. So with arthritis, that starts to break down. That can come from a number of ways. One could be you could have an injury, right? One of these football players could take a major hit, and you can scuff that cartilage up, break the bone. It can have an uneven surface. That's obviously different forever. Sometimes things just wear out over time. Genetics play a role. We'll see some people, hard to understand why, where they'll have multiple joints and get arthritic. Rheumatoid arthritis, people have heard of, that's a little different. That's an autoimmune type process where the lining of the joint actually starts to break down the cartilage. It makes enzymes and such that just digest the cartilage. And that's a different animal. And that's treated with medicines that kind of blunt your immune system so that it's not as aggressive in terms of destroying the joint. The most common type of arthritis is just wear and tear, and it just wears down over time. And what happens is that the makeup of that cartilage starts to change, and it has fewer of the molecules that have a negative charge to hold onto the water. And so it can't hold onto that water as well. And so when you press on the other side and squeeze, the water just gets squeezed out much faster as opposed to that thin layer. And then it can't absorb loads quite so effectively. And then it just, you know, you don't feel like you have the cushioning effect in your joint, and you put more pressure across the bones and everything hurts more. And then it just gets inflamed and kind of breaks down. So that's what's going on with arthritis. And it can happen where it gradually thins out, or it can happen where you start to lose sheets or chunks of cartilage. And then there'll be loose pieces that float around. People have probably heard of having pieces removed with a scope or an operation, the loose bodies that are taken out. The interesting thing is that they often start out as very small pieces, little chunks that get knocked off. And because that cartilage is alive, floating around, it actually grows without a surface on the other side to press against. And those little pieces get bigger and bigger over time. And I've taken them out as big as a golf ball from joints, been in there for years. Yeah. But in general, that cartilage is kind of breaking down. Weight plays a role. If somebody's overweight, obviously it's more than the joint can handle. The other thing is alignment. So just like your car tires, if they're out of line, you'll wear them down faster, and wear them down kind of out of, just one side more than another. Same thing will happen in a joint. If somebody's bow-legged, they're going to wear out the inner side of their knee. And so options we have to treat arthritis take all this into account. So sometimes we use braces, and we can try to target that issue with overload and alignment and put a brace on, for instance, on the knee, a prescription brace that's fit such that it'll press against one side of the knee to gap open the other side of the knee. And that can be helpful. The other thing sometimes that can work is our orthotics. Or people get custom orthotics made to go in their shoes, like an arch support. But if you think about it, you can build that up such that you can tilt the foot. So you maybe build up the outside of the foot to tilt it in, or the inside, and you can affect then how the pressure goes across the knee. You can essentially try to make the knee a little bit more bow-legged or a little bit more knock-kneed and shift the weight a little bit, not a lot, but that can be helpful for some people. And probably your folks at the running shop can comment more on that, because that's a big area they work on with orthotics and how you shift weight across the other joints and all the way up, even including your hips and your back can be affected. The other thing we'll do, especially if somebody's really young, let's say an athlete's had a major injury and one half of their joint is severely damaged, is we'll actually do an operation to permanently unload that side of the joint. That's called an osteotomy. We can cut the bone, we can open it up like a wedge, and then make the leg more bow-legged or the opposite based on what we need to unload. And then we'll fix it with plates and screws to hold it there while it heals. and that'll more permanently shift the weight away from the damaged side. And that's a good strategy if somebody has this problem and they're like 20 years of age and you got to buy, you know, many years before they would be a candidate for something like a knee replacement. So just a word about joint replacements. We can replace a lot of joints. I don't know if the listeners know this, but certainly people know about knees and hips. That does very, very well. Shoulders also, but we can replace elbows. There are some smaller joints in the hand that can be replaced. They're even starting to do disc replacements in the back. And that's just amazing where the technology is now. In general, though, nothing can last forever. Joint replacements, if somebody is not high demand, so just kind of normal everyday life type stuff, and maybe go to their local gym and do a stationary bike, elliptical, take walks, they can expect a joint replacement to last in general 15, 20 years plus, which is great. But if you start this process at age 25, you're going to run into problems. And each, when you say, well, why don't you just do it again? Well, when you have to do it again, it's because it wore out. Generally, that means it got loose just over time, just a little bit of wiggling over time. And as it does get loose, it's going to start to toggle and erode the bone. So then you got a big cavity where it's eroding the bone, and you have less to support a new one when you put it in. And you eventually can get to the situation where you run out of options. There's just no bone to support it. So that's why surgeons really want to wait as long as possible before starting that process. And generally, when you're into your 50s is when you're kind of eligible for joint replacements. But they can work really well. I'll pause there for questions before we get into some other treatments. If you guys had anything that you thought of with what I just went through. You guys are good?
You got something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm good. I'm
all right. All right.
Little notes here. Yeah.
So I think this would the next thing I want to talk about a little bit is, you know, what about other non-surgical things for arthritis? Because I think almost everybody has some joint that aches, you know, at times and flares up, and sometimes it's weather, and that's a very real thing. It's a barometric pressure thing, and wet, colder days typically will make joints ache more. Dry, sunny days are better for joints. It definitely fluctuates, and sometimes for whatever reason, a joint will just flare up and just get angry for several days. And that's the best time for medicines that are like Advil or ibuprofen or Aleve. Those kind of medicines work best if you take them for, you know, on schedule for several days. It works better when it kind of builds up a level in your bloodstream and kind of quiets down those flares. And some people also know to manage their pain ahead of activities. Let's say they're going to take a trip. They're going to go on a ski trip. They go on a ski trip once a year. It's a great time to pack the Advil and take it regularly a few days leading up to the trip and all the way through the trip. And they'll generally do better. But when it gets to the point that people have to live on those medicines all the time, we're usually thinking about other options because that has consequences sometimes to your stomach and your kidneys if you're taking them all the time. So we'll do sometimes injections for joints. It can be very effective. The tried and true method is a cortisone injection. Works very well. It will quiet down those flares quite nicely. And a lot of people ask, well, how long is this going to work? How long is this in there? The medicine's probably in there doing something for about 6-8 weeks. But that's probably not the way to think about it. It's really more a matter of managing the flares that come and go. And people that have dealt with arthritis know exactly what I'm talking about, where they'll go through a several week stretch where it's worse, and then it'll kind of ease up and it's not so bad and it'll flare like that. So that's a great way to use the injections. It's not as if the injections lasting longer term. And we can do up to 3 in a year in a given joint and be safe. Too many injections, the steroid can start to add to the breakdown of cartilage. So trying to do them too frequently, probably inside of 6 weeks after the prior injection or more than 3 in a year is generally not a good idea. That's how we use steroid injections. And we probably use them more for older people than younger people because of the issues about cartilage breakdown, but they can be safe, especially if you're doing them only on rare occasions, even in younger patients. There's some other types of injections. This is, I think, probably of interest to a lot of people. There's another type of injection that's basically part of your joint fluid. It's called hyaluronic acid, or HA, and there's several different brands. that are injected in a joint. It's the slippery part of the joint fluid. And that sticks around a little longer than the cortisone. It can stick around for up to 6 months and help people. It works, though, on remaining cartilage. If you're already worn all the way down to bone, it's not going to do much. So you have to have some cartilage left for that slippery part to actually work with. Unfortunately, it's expensive. And so insurance companies find ways not to pay for it. And increasingly, we're finding that insurers aren't covering this. Very few do now. And it doesn't help as many, just percentage-wise, as many people as a cortisone injection does. So we always start with cortisone injections, but sometimes if that's not helping enough, we may try these injections too. There's something new called PRP, platelet-rich plasma, and that comes from your own body. This is where you draw some blood off and you spin it down in a centrifuge and you take a layer off that has a lot of the platelets. The platelets help you clot, but they also have growth factors in them. And that layer can be injected into the joint depending on how you prepare it. And that actually also helps reduce inflammation and pain. It seems to work about as well as a steroid injection. It's still kind of new. It's safe, but insurance companies don't cover it yet. So it's going to be cash out of pocket. And that's typically going to run a patient roughly $500, whereas a cortisone injection is pennies compared to that in terms of the medication. So I think with time, we'll see PRP approved by insurance companies, but not yet. But that can have a role, especially if people need more frequent injections than the 3 times a year. So this would be a safer option for the joint. Interestingly, the way you prepare that stuff that you pull off your blood, you centrifuge it, you can take a different layer. And it actually promotes inflammation in a healing way. And we'll use that for like chronic tendonitis, like patellotendinitis, jumper's knee, or things like that. It can actually promote a response where your body kind of revs up inflammation that helps to heal things. There are other things that people are injecting. And I would just caution all the listeners about this. Some people are doing things. Stem cell injections you may have heard of, where you maybe take some stem cells from somebody from their bone marrow. Believe it or not, you can take it from their fat layer and process it. Some from the blood. And yeah, you can get some stem cells that way. They're not that many. Unfortunately, the older we get, the fewer stem cells we have. But despite what you may read on the internet, there's no evidence that injecting stem cells regrows cartilage, none at all. And I think this is probably where I want to caution listeners most because, you know, people, if you're not medical, you're vulnerable. You don't always know how to digest the information you hear. And there's some folks out there that do this and it's all cash and it's incredibly expensive, multiple thousands of dollars. And when people are hurting, they're desperate and they're even more vulnerable. And to say, I want to try it, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. There's always going to be a little bit of a placebo effect from having any injection. There's a little short-term benefit from just injecting even saline, even salt water in a joint. You feel better for a while, but critical science has never shown that stem cell injections regrow anything. They don't reverse arthritis. They don't avoid the need for joint replacement. And I would not advise anybody to do that. I think it's a waste of your money. There's certainly other options that are much better, that are better tested. And there's some crazy stuff going on. People are injecting, I heard ozone the other day. I'm like, what in the world? You know, so just watch out. And if it's not an MD, if it's not a medical doctor that's doing it, and especially somebody who's got a busy practice that, you know, deals with the whole spectrum of arthritis. I mean, think about it. If the person you're seeing and is going to give you advice, has all the tools at their disposal. They can give you medicine, injections, braces. They can even do surgery. They kind of have a perspective that you want. If somebody can only do one little thing, then that's what they're going to recommend, right? It's common sense. So I would just encourage listeners to be careful about this and maybe get a second opinion and get good information. So I think that's one area where I see that it upsets me, where I see patients taken advantage of sometimes. So I don't want to say too much more than that, but just watch out. So it's kind of exciting. There's a lot of treatments really in the past 10 years that have come around that are they're improving our options for arthritis. But, you know, when it comes time, joint replacement works really well for people and has great outcomes.
It's incredible stuff. I got a whole education on arthritis there.
I thought that'd be helpful.
It's very helpful.
I think the part about beware of the snake oil salesman is also very helpful, David, because you know, Google in this day and age can be our friend, but it can also be something that can be manipulated so well. And people,
you're right,
are, and when they're in pain, they want a solution. And there are people who prey upon folks like that.
They do. And you'll see some ads on the internet or some of these in-flight magazines and stuff, you know, like the before and after x-ray. That's just the x-ray technique. You know, one, you're standing, one, you're not. It's the angle of the way x-ray beam to make it look like there's more space. But it doesn't do that. It absolutely does not cause more space between the bones. It doesn't do that. It can't, nothing exists like that. Some people ask about other injectable stuff that then creates a cushion. No, the only thing we've got is something that makes it slippery. So anyway, get advice from people that are MDs, medical doctors, that have all the options at their disposal. I think that's when you're going to get the most objective advice about what's best for you as a patient.
Yeah, there's so many people out there that suffer from arthritis. I'm sure they learned a lot today just listening to you. That's some
hope
incredible
so.
Stuff. Yeah, that's incredible stuff. A lot of stuff I had no idea about.
Well, good. Well, thanks for your time, guys. And I just want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving and beat the Hokies.
Go Hoos.
Go Hoos.
Yeah, you know, this football game has almost become part of Thanksgiving since it's played a couple of days after. So it's always a special week in the state of Virginia. No question.
Yeah, awesome, guys.
So, right. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Super. Thank you. Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Jerry Ratcliffe Show. Get the latest on the Hoos, basketball, football, and more online at jerryratcliffe.com or at augustafreepress.com.